Morning.
Today's daf in Avodah Zarah, Samach Gimel. We are in Samach Beis Amud Beis. We're starting today with the Debei Rabbi Yanai. Debei Rabbi Yanai is found towards the bottom of the Amud, Samach Beis Amud Beis. It starts the third word in the line, Debei Rabbi Yanai Yazveh. The Gemara yesterday, we introduced ourselves to the fifth paragraph of Masechta yesterday. We talked about schar. We talked about getting wages. And if you hire somebody to work for you, and you're going to be paying him, and he's going to be working in Yain Esech, well, let's flip it around. Let's go from the perspective of the employee. If you're an employee and you're working with Yain Esech, so and you're going to get paid for working for Yain Esech, so the Yain Esech is Aser Bar Nah. What about your wages? So we learned yesterday in the mission, the wages also are Aser as well. Why should that be? The wages are not. You're not getting paid for the Yain Esech. You're getting paid for the work that you put in, and so you're not receiving. Yes, you're benefiting through the Yain Esech, but you're not benefiting from the Yain Esech. And that's an important distinction. And even though that's an important distinction, but we learned yesterday's daf, it's a kanas, it's a penalty. It's a rabbinic penalty that because you were involved in the work with Yain Esech, and we mentioned yesterday, it's the chumrah of Yain Esech, the grave seriousness of the Isser. So therefore the Chachamim penalized you, and therefore the wages that you received are Aser Behana. So with that in mind, the Gemara now continues in a discussion, although quite frankly you could just take the entire daf today, and you can cut it out, and it can exist in of itself. In other words, we're going to be talking about receiving. It's a little bit about wages, a little bit later on. But right now, we start off with the following: Debei Rabbi Yanai Yasvei Perishvius Me'aniyam Uparlu B'Shminis. So the house of Rabbi Yanai did a wonderful thing for the poor people, and that's the following. In the Shemitah year, of course, produce is pretty cheap. In fact, when I say pretty cheap, it's accessible to all. And anyone can go out to the field and take perishvius for themselves, and that's the whole idea of the Shemitah year. And so the poor people have access to fruit, a lot of food, in the seventh year. In the eighth year, obviously, no longer are they going to have access to that food. They're going to have to obviously pay for the food. So in other words, in the seventh year, they have access to the food. So wouldn't it be great if they could somehow roll over all that perishvius that they have in the seventh year for the eighth year? Now, of course, we know there's something called Zman Bir, meaning that there has to be a time in which perishvius has to be consumed by, and otherwise they have to be destroyed. Now, as I mentioned, every time we talk about Zman Bir, I put a little asterisk by Zman Bir. What exactly that means? Does it mean they have to be destroyed? Does it mean they have to just simply be declared ownerless? But either way, in other words, it's just to put it simply, really to simplify the Gemara, they can't roll over the pears into the next year. So here's what happens. So the Bei Rav Yanai, the house of Rav Yanai, so what they would do is they would borrow perish shvius from the poor people in the seventh year. And then comes the eighth year, and what do? They pay back the poor people. Great. In other words, it's really nice. It's a way to basically help the poor people out, and it's the best kind of tzedakah, meaning they're not just giving a handout to the poor people, meaning the poor people have access to all this food in the seventh year, so the Bei Rav Yanai are now receiving the food in the seventh year and paying back in the eighth year. That's wonderful. Issues that the Gemara does not discuss, which is, what about ribbis? In other words, what about interest, payment of interest? Not to say that the Bei Rav Yanai are going to be paying any more than what they borrowed, but the Gemara Bav Metzia in Perek HaNeshech, so there it discusses that when you borrow food and pay back with food, there is a rabbinic concern of ribbis. It's what's called sa basa, exactly. So why isn't the Gemara over here worried about sa basa? The Gemara over here doesn't discuss it. And you can take a look at the Tosfos on the bottom of the Amud, second to last Tosfos, where he discusses the issue, and he says that it was not an issue over here. See Tosfos for more details of why that's true. Okay, so that's an issue that the Gemara does not discuss. So the issue that the Gemara is going to discuss is the following. Meaning that we know, in other words, we learned in yesterday's daf, that anything that's exchanged for Perish Shvius is going to have the same Kedusha. Meaning we noted that when it comes to Perish Shvius, it has what's called Tfisas Kedusha. It is Tofes the Kedusha of the fruit itself. So basically, let's think this through. Bei Rav Yanai now are borrowing Shemitah produce, and they're paying back with their own produce, but whatever they're paying back, isn't that going to have the same status as the produce? Which means then that just like there is a deadline on the Perish Shemitah, there should also be a deadline, an expiration date, for anything exchanged for the Perish Shemitah as well. And that's what we're going to be dealing with. That's what the Gemara is going to be focused on. So let's see the Gemara now inside for a discussion on this matter. Debei Rabbi Yanai Yasvei Perishvius Me'aniyam Uparlei B'Shminis Asu Amarle the Rav Yochanan. So they reported this to Rav Yochanan. And we got this a lot lately in the daf, where things were reported to Rav Yochanan and he issued rulings. Here, Rav Yochanan, Amar Lehu, Yehu Sein Avdin. So Rav Yochanan says, good, a big Yosher Kalach. What they did is good, and it's halachically acceptable. Now, the Gemara does not give us his reason why. Why is it halachically acceptable? Why isn't the payment, the Bei Rav Yarnai, when they pay back the Aniyim in the eighth year, why isn't that payment considered an exchange for Peir Shvius? And why then does not have the same restrictions, regulations, Isurim, that the Peir Shvius itself has? And Rashi over here writes, and it's really the pshat in the Gemara, and we'll see very clearly as the Gemara continues, but let's read the Rashi right now. Yehu Sein Avdin, Kevin da Yishayit alo hava hanach me'en, v'lo ichlufu hani bahani, lav chalipeninu, v'lo chalik kedusha shvius alayim. In order for there to be a tfisas kedusha from one to another, it has to be an immediate exchange. So in other words, when you have a direct barter, where I'm giving you Peir Shvius, and you're then exchanging it to me right now, with something else, that something else is going to have the same kedusha as the Peir Shvius. So for Peir Shvius, I'm now exchanging it to you for a piece of meat. So that meat now is going to have the kedusha of Peir Shvius when it's a direct exchange. But if what I'm doing is I'm giving you the Peir Shvius now, and now you have a chov, you have an obligation, and you pay me at a later point in time, then whatever you pay me is not going to have the status. Meaning you're just satisfying your obligation, but it's not going to have the status of Peir Shvius. That's the yesod of Rav Yochanan, and over the course of the rest of today's daf, all we're going to do is just basically see that this is correct. This is a correct yesod.
Benefiting from the shvius?
Sure.
They're allowed to eat it.
They're not allowed to make commercial activity out of it. Commercial activity is basically, you know, opening up a market and selling it. Over here, in other words, Bei Rav Yana are going to be eating it. They're not going to, in other words, there is a concern, we'll talk a little bit later this morning about hoarding Peir Shvius, and it's not clear to me how much Rav Yana was taking, but in other words, this is not considered commercial activity. Okay, now, Uchenegdan Be'esnan, so what we're doing now from now to really the rest of the daf today, is we're discussing this idea that if something is not a direct exchange, if I'm taking something now with a payment that comes at a later point in time, that payment obviously satisfies my obligation, but will not take on the status of what it was exchanged for. So the Gemara describes this in the context of Esnan. Uchenegdan Be'esnan Mutter. And the Gemara says, and we see this by Esnan. So let's, for a good part of today's daf, we're discussing Esnan, so let's reacquaint ourselves with Esnan. The Torah says that you're not allowed to take an Esnan and bring it to Beis Hashem Elkecha. What is an Esnan? It's payment for services rendered by a Zona. Zona, who obviously the Torah is not condoning her behavior. In fact, the Torah condemns her behavior, but it's still, how's the expression go? It's one of the oldest businesses in known to humanity. So in other words, it's the Torah does not condone it, but the Torah recognizes that it's out there. And if the Zona herself now is getting payment for services rendered, and the payment comes in the form of an animal, and by the way, just go back to the beginning of, not the beginning of time, but go back towards the beginning of Chumash and Bereishis and Parshas Vayeshev. So you see that Yehuda, what was he going to pay the Zona? He was going to pay with an animal. Happens to be they didn't have an animal on him. So he gave Tamar some collateral, and he says, I'll come back with an animal. Came back with an animal, and she wasn't there. But in other words, it was normal back then to hire a Zona, pair with an animal, and what the Torah tells us is that animal now has a psul lagabi mizbeach. You can't bring that animal to the Beis HaMikdash, and it's very mistabered. In other words, you think about it for a moment, you realize, right, in other words, the Torah doesn't want this kind of behavior. You're going to take this animal that was exchanged for services rendered by prostitution, and you're going to bring it as a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. So, it's pasnish, to say the least. But it's more than just pasnish, meaning the Torah actually puts a psul on that animal. Now, in order for the animal to have status of being an esnan, the esnan is the word the Torah uses to describe this animal, right? Lofsavi esnan zona, right? The pasuk, you'll forgive me, I don't have a chumash in front of me right now, but esnan zona mechir kelev. They're placed side by side in the Torah, okay, in exchange for a dog, but that's not our discussion today. Our discussion today is esnan zona. So now, in order for that animal to have the status we are now going to be learning together, it must be exchanged, and the exchange has to happen at the time a service is rendered. If let's say the animal came at a later point in time, so obviously he has an obligation to pay her, and he has to pay her, but that animal's not going to have the status of Esnan. We're also going to learn in just a moment, what if he pays her beforehand as well? That too, the animal is not going to have a status of Esnan. That needs clarification. We're going to clarify that point in just a moment. So the Gemara says, look, we can see this by an Esnan. The Gemara quotes the following Brisa. So there are two parts of the Brisa. Part number one of the Brisa is where he gives her the Esnan, but they don't have relations. Or let's say they have relations and he doesn't give it to her, Esnan Amuta. In both those cases, the Esnan is going to be Mutter. Now, as I read the two cases, hopefully a big question mark went up in your head. What is this Brisa talking about? Let's go over both parts of the Brisa. Nasan Lavala Ba'ala, Pshita came into La Ba'ala, Matana Ba'amu Di'ayvila. So part number one of the Brisa obviously makes no sense. Right? You paid her, but the services were not rendered. So if services were not rendered, of course it's not an Esnan. Meaning, no services were rendered. It's a Matana. And part number two of the Brisa, Vesu Ba'ala V'lo Nasan La, Halo Ya'ivla V'lo Midi. The Kevin de Lonasan La, Ma'is Nana Mutter. So, and the part number two of the Brisa is that the man had relations with the Zona, but he didn't pay her. So then what are we talking about? Right? Where the Esnan is Mutter. There's no Esnan. There's nothing to talk about. So, Elahachi Kamar. Obviously, the way the Brisa is presented, we don't understand the Brisa. We will understand the Brisa right now. Nasan La V'Acher Kach Ba'ala. Now, what the Brisa is talking about is order of payment. Let's say he first gives her the Esnan, meaning he gives her the animal, and then afterwards he has relations with her. That's case number one of the Brisa. Case number two of the Brisa, Obala ve'achakach nasanla. Or let's say he has relations with her, and then he pays her. In both of those cases, Esnan Mutter, the Esnan is going to be Mutter. Okay. So we have now two cases in the Brisa which we're going to be exploring. Case number one is where he pays her first. Case number two is where he pays her afterwards. In both of those cases, so then we're saying that the Esnan is going to be Mutter. Meaning, what is the Torah talking about when the Torah says that you can't bring an Esnan to the Beis HaMikdash? She can't offer her Esnan to the Beis HaMikdash. That's only when the animal was exchanged at the time of Bia. Okay, now, obviously both of these points need to be further clarified. The Gemara is going to clarify both of these points. Nasan la'v'achar kolach ba'ala. So the Gemara says, well, let's say he pays her first. He pays her first, okay. So in other words, when he's giving her the animal, and services aren't rendered, so what is that called? Right now, well, yeah. Right. No disagreement. Right now it's called the gift, but in other words, but it's payment, meaning what's going to then happen at the time when services are rendered. So then that animal is going to be in her possession serving as payment. And the Gemara says, so I'm not fully following. So the Gemara asks, so, if let's say now she's in possession of the animal. Now it's not hers yet because she didn't provide services. Fine. But then she provides services. So then it should be an Esnan. Meaning at the time where services are provided, the animal now is in her possession. She's providing the services. It should be hers. Why isn't it an Esnan? So I'm a Rebbe Lazar. Kishikadma b'kriftal. So Rebbe Lazar offers an answer and he says, well, you know what? She offered it before services were rendered. Okay? So the Gemara says, "Hey Chidami." Well, the Gemara says, "Well, that doesn't make any sense." Id Amar La Kinila Me'achshav Pshita Deshare Daha Leisa B'Shas Bia Umatana Ba'Amahu Di'Ayvla. So the Gemara says, "Well, if he says to her, here it is right now, and it's yours right now." So in other words, it's not payment; it's a gift. It's a gift that's given to her, irrespective of whether services will or will not be rendered. And the Idalah Amar La Kinila Me'achshav. And let's say he says to her, look, here's the animal, but it's only going to be yours after services are rendered. So that means to say she's going to bring it as a carbon. She can't bring it as a carbon. It's not hers. Right? Rule number one when it comes to bringing carbon, we learned this in the third parak of Sukkah. We're repeating it now in the fifth parak of Avodah Zarah. And that is that you, in order for you to be maktish a carbon, it has to be yours. And if it's not yours, so then it's you don't have the right to be makdish it. You can't even sanctify it. So, where are we right now? In other words, we're a little bit lost because the Bryce is giving us a case in which he's giving her the Esnan first, then services are rendered, and the Bryce is saying, well, it's not an Esnan. And right now, we're a little bit lost because if she's holding on to the animal while services are being rendered, so then that means that it becomes an Esnan. That's the very definition of Esnan, meaning that animal represented payment for services rendered. And that for sure is an Esnan. And if she offered it before services were rendered, well, if the gift was gifted to her, so then it's a gift. Obviously, it's not an Esnan. But then what discussion are we even having? It's a gift. And if it's not hers, so she can't even be maktish it. So what are we even talking about? So El the Amrla lehave gabecha shasbia v'misterch lechanim eachshav. So the Gemara says the case is as follows, and it's an extraordinarily limited case, but it's a case. But it's the following case. He gives her the animal and he says to her, look, these are going to be four services rendered, but I'll tell you what. Let's say you're in need. You need the animal before services rendered. I'll tell you what. You can go ahead and acquire it for yourself before services rendered. Meaning I'm really planning to use this as payment, but if you need it beforehand, so that you can use it beforehand. Under these circumstances, now we understand the first case of the Braisa. The first case of the Braisa where, if she was to be makar of it before services were rendered, it's mutter. It's not an esnan. Question. How can she bring it? Is it hers? The answer is yes. In this limited scenario, where he stipulated and he said, if you need it, you can acquire it. Under those circumstances, it can be considered hers. Okay. By Rav Oshia, karma v'iktishto mahu. Rav Oshia asked such a good question. What if we have the following scenario? Let's say, look, we're looking at the same exact case that we just articulated, where the animal was given to her. He says to her, if you need it before the bia, so then you can acquire it. And let's say, and the case that we've been discussing is where she was actually makdish and makrevit prior to the bia. Let's ask the following question, says Rav Oshia. Let's say prior to the bia, she's makdish. And then bia occurs. Now can she be makrevit? And what's really at the heart of this question? By Rav Oshia, kama v'kdishamau, kevda mamar mirasala gavol kemirasala hajod, kemandi krafte dame. So we say like this. When she's makdish the animal now, whose possession is the animal under? It's no longer hers. Meaning, it's a karban. And amirasala gavoa, and a articulation that this animal is going to be Takarish Baruch Hu, is like mesira. It's like giving it over to somebody else. It's not hers anymore. And even though the animal's still in existence, but halachically speaking, it's not hers, it belongs to the Beis Mikdash. So even though the bia occurs before she's actually makriv of the animal, but by virtue of the fact that she was makdish it, means that it's no longer in her possession, and therefore it should not get the status of esnan. On the other hand, odema hashem yaka hakai vise be'ene. So the Gemara says, or on the other hand, look, the animal's here. And the animal's here, b'shas bia. So can we now make the argument that the animal should therefore have esnan status? So fetivsha mid the Rebbe Lazar. So the Gemara says, okay, but didn't, in other words, go back to the top of the Amud, where Rebbe Lazar gave the case very clearly, where she was makdish and she was makar of it before Bia. Am Rebbe Lazar shikama v'ikrifto, dafka ikrifto, ava ikdisho lo. So the Gemara says, look, he's being very specific about the example that he gave. Why is he being so specific? So maybe it's because Rebbe Lazar believes that if the animal was in existence, even though she was makdish it before the Bia, if the animal was around during Bia, the animal would have the status of esnan. To which the Gemara says, Rebbe Lazar doesn't know that for sure. The Rebbe Lazar gufa kami ba'ele. My mishap shitale le Rebbe Lazar di krifto dafka? Is Rebbe Lazar giving this example because he knows for sure? Avalei dishto lo de ha'isa b'shas Bia. But if he was just makdish, if she was just makdish the animal before the Bia, but the animal was there, maybe the animal will have the status of esnan b'shas Bia. Or maybe no. Rav Elazar just simply gave the case that he knew for sure. But in other words, the reason why he didn't give the case of Makdish is just simply because he wasn't sure about such a case. Teiku, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Okay, so where do we stand right now? We brought up the topic of Esnan. There are two scenarios where Esnan is going to be Mutter. The Torah says Esnan is Zasser. The two scenarios where Esnan is going to be Mutter, one if she was given the Esnan before Bia. So what we've just tackled for the last almost Amud of Gemara is what's the scenario in which she's given the esnan before Bia? If she's given the esnan before Bia, how do we even call that an esnan? Meaning, why don't we just simply call that a matana? So the Gemara gives a nukimta. The Gemara gives a case where it really is for the Bia, but he also stipulates, if you need it, you can take it. Good. Adkan. That takes us through step number one of the Braisa. And it's important. Everything we learned was important, but that's not the focus of today's daf. The focus of today's daf is the second part of the Braisa, because it has to do back with Rabbi Yannai. Second part of the Braisa goes like this. If, let's say, he gives it to her afterwards, the esnan is going to be mutter. And this is a direct parallel to Rav Yannai. Right? Everyone see it? It's important to see how they directly parallel with one another. Rav Yannai lent perishvias to the poor people. Sorry, other way around. Rav Yannai borrowed perishvias from the poor people, and then a year later he pays them back. When he pays them back a year later, shouldn't have the status of perishvias, of kedusha shvias? And the answer is no. Because he's paying back a year later. In other words, it didn't happen at the time of the exchange. Only time there's tfisas kedushin is only if it occurs, only if the exchange is concurrent. Similarly, with the zona and the payment that she's receiving. If she's not receiving payment at the time of the bia, if she's receiving payment only at a later point in time, that animal does not have esnaf status. Good. The cases are a perfect parallel with one another, and that's exactly the point. Meaning Rav Yochanan is hanging his hat, his psak, on the case of the esnaf.
What's the time frame?
There is no...
they should state that there has to be a certain period of delay.
Right.
As long as it's not concurrent.
It's concurrent.
It is concurrent.
No, it's not. In other words, whither service is rendered, he has an obligation to pay her.
Right.
In other words, and when at any point subsequent he satisfies that obligation, that's good. I mean, so when I say it's good, in other words, in the context that we're talking about znus. But I mean, in other words, so he satisfies that obligation, that's good. But that satisfaction of the obligation does not imbue that payment with any kind of status. The only time that that payment has any status, if it happens concurrent. So the way it's going to happen concurrently is where he gives her the payment beforehand, and now she's going to be acquiring it with the services that are rendered.
But if she receives the payment and then there's services immediately after.
You're right.
That's concurrent.
Exactly. We're in agreement.
We're
in perfect agreement.
Okay.
Right.
There has to be some delay, but the delay is not
good. You're right. Right. Now the Gemara is bothered by the following, and that is and the problem is very simple. We have another brisa, and the brisa says that payment can come 3 years later. It doesn't matter. The animal that's given as payment is in fact an esnan. Okay, we have what's called the stira. Brisa number one on the bottom of the previous amud said that the esnan is mutter if it's paid afterwards. Brisa number two, which we just learned together, says even if this payment is coming 3 years later, it is an esnan and therefore it's going to be aser. That's called the stira. What are we going to do? So Amar Rav Nach, we're going to answer it. Amar Rav Nach, Ma'itzik, Amar Rav Chisla, Lokasha, Adamar, Izbali, B'tlezeh, Hadamar Li, Izbali, B'tlezeh. So what the Gemara attempts to do right now is give the following distinction. Where he promises to pay her a sheep, or he promises to pay her this sheep. Or let me flip that around. I want to go in the correct order of the Gemara. He promises to pay her this sheep versus he promises to pay her a sheep. So, and what the Gemara now is thinking in terms of a distinction is like this. If he promises to pay her a sheep, right, that's called tlastam, so then whatever he's paying afterwards is not in exchange, but just simply a satisfaction of his obligation. Meaning he now has a financial obligation to her, he will pay her at a later point in time. He didn't say which sheep it was, so therefore it's not considered an exchange for services rendered, it's just simply a satisfaction of his obligation to pay. However, if he points to this particular sheep and says, this is the sheep, so then that's considered an exchange. Because when he gives it to her afterwards, 3 years later doesn't matter, meaning that sheep was the promised payment for the exchange of the services. So the Gemara says, really? So the Gemara says, I still don't buy it. It's not good. It's not a good enough answer. Why not? Why isn't a good enough answer? Because even when he points to which sheep specifically he's going to be paying with her, but still, at the time of the bia, she didn't make a formal kinyan. And now let's get as technical and as legal as we possibly can. We are talking over here about there has to be a direct exchange. A direct exchange occurs when it comes to metaltim, when it comes to movable items, only through one mechanism, and that is meshicha. You have to actually take the animal. Money is not a kinyan. Money is a kinyan when it comes to karka. Money is not a kinyan when it comes to metaltalin. So over here now, she provides her services. And now, even when the animal is designated and he tells her it's going to be this animal, but she didn't acquire it. Now, the truth of the matter is the discussion of the Gemara here can get more involved because there is a machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, whether Maus Konos Midaraisa or Maus Enos Konos Midaraisa. And the Rishonim over here are bothered by that, and And it's an important discussion. But again, I'm just going to streamline the whole discussion on the Gemara over here. Keep it as simple as possible. And so basically now, she's not moshech the animal, b'shas bia, and so therefore the animal is not hers. So even when she receives it afterwards, all it is just the satisfaction of the obligation. It doesn't become hers at the time of bia. And if that's and if that's true, so then what difference does it make whether it's zeh versus stam? So the Gemara's answer, b'zona avodas kochavim de lo kanya b'mishicha. So one answer of the Gemara is that we're talking about a zona who is not Jewish. And we know, and again, it gets a little more complicated, but I'm going to keep it simple. When it comes to a goy, in this case a goya, nachriya, so the means of acquisition is kesef. Meaning mishicha is only between Jew to Jew. Miyad liyad. Miyad amitecha. But when it comes to a goy, the mechanism of kinyan is money. And so therefore, she will be kone with the services rendered. Because the services rendered is considered, it's kesef, it's money. Ibai samalolam bazona Yisraelis, or maybe a second suggestion of the Gemara is that we're talking about a Jewish zona, ukigon dekai bechatzera, and where is the animal at the time of Bia? The animal was placed in her chatzer. And so since it was placed in her chatzer, so how is she kone? Because it's in her chatzer. So the Gemara says, ibechatzera, so the Gemara says, well, if it's in her chatzer, so the Gemara says, I understand, she made an acquisition beforehand. How do we say that it is only acquired to her after the bia if it was placed in her chatzer before the bia? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you how, because when he puts the chatzar in her property, he says, you know what this animal represents? It will be payment. Right now it represents a security. And a potiki. Second day in a row, we're talking about a potiki. So the potiki means that it's an earmarked lien. And he's pointing to this animal. This animal will be your security of payment. Look, if I pay you from now until a certain date, he gives himself a deadline. So then the payment's the payment. But otherwise, this animal will be serving as payment. So here's a circumstance in which, it's a really technical answer, but basically, the animal can be now viewed as a direct exchange with her bia. The problem with the Gemara is that it was mechusa mashicha. It's not mechusa mashicha because the animal was in her chatzar at the time of bia. If it was in her chatzar, how wasn't she koneh beforehand? Answers the Gemara, no, because the animal was set up as an apotiki. Good. Okay. Extraordinarily technical answer, but gets us to the point where we do now have a case where the animal can be viewed as a direct exchange for services rendered. Okay. Where do we stand right now? Basically, we have now looked at a Gemara very clearly regarding parallel cases between the case of the Esnan and the case of Bei Rav Yanai. Okay? And I know it's a funny comparison, but basically, we put these two cases side by side, and they're both pointing to the same point. And that is that when you do not making a direct exchange, but rather you get an item and then you pay for that item later, when you pay, it doesn't have the status of it doesn't have the status of whatever it was at the time of the exchange. So let's say, for example, the payer shvius, which Bei Rav Yanai, they took the payer shvius during the Shemitah year, they paid back a year later. That payment a year later is not going to have the status of Peir Shvius. Similarly, when the Zona has relations and she's going to get paid at a later point in time with an animal, the animal will not have the status of an Esnan. Adkan, not Adkan, but that is the point of the Gemara. The Gemara now, after an Amud, has successfully made its point. Mesa Rav Sheshes says, I'm bothered with the following. Omar Adam Lechamar V'lapolav L'chuv Achlu B'dina Zu. Let's say the guy's got workers, and the workers are not the firmest of people. Or Rashi says they may not even be Jewish. In other words, but he gives them an allowance to spend on food. If you're paying your workers money and they buy food, whatever they buy is not your problem. Meaning, they're not going to buy food that's kosher, right? It's not going to be glot. And when I say it's not going to be glot, the Gemara is going to give very specific examples, right? The term glot kosher is not found in the Gemara. I think we all know that. So but in other words, they're not going to buy kosher food. But still, in other words, you gave them money. What they decide to do with that money in terms of buying their lunch, buying their food, that's their issue. It's not your issue. Okay. If, however, you simply say to them, look, I'm giving you a spending allowance. I'll pay the storekeeper. Now you got a problem. Meaning, if now they decide to buy non-kosher food, and you're now going to have to pay the storekeeper for that non-kosher food, so that represents a problem. So that's basically what we're going to learn together in the Braisa. And the question is going to be, basically, well, if you are paying after the fact, so isn't that payment after the fact not have the status of whatever you're paying for? Okay, that's basically the setup of the Gemara coming up. So let's say you give money to your employees, and you're giving them the spending allowance, so then you don't have to worry. You don't, we turn to the top of Samach Yimel Amad Beis. Don't worry about what they spend their food on. Let's go step by step. Let's go concern by concern. We're not worried about them spending the money on Shvias. Rashi points out that you can buy Peir Shvias during the Shemitah year. Meaning, you want to eat, and someone has Peir Shvias, so you can buy the food. Now I know, we keep saying, La'achla v'lo l'schora. Schora means commercial activity, meaning opening up a store and saying, here, I'm selling Peir Shvias. But a small exchange between money and food, so that in of itself would be fine. So some people, however, unscrupulous as they are, says Rashi, are going to be selling food in large quantities. If you give them the money and they buy excess amount of food, more than three meals worth, so that's an isser. But again, you didn't tell them what to spend the money on. You just simply gave them the money, not your concern. Meiser, Rashi writes that if it's an Amma Aretz, so they're going to buy produce that's not tithed. And again, you didn't tell them to do that. You gave them the money, not your issue. Yain Nesach. So let's say it's a non-Jew, right? The Rashi doesn't even want to entertain the idea that a Jew is going to be buying Yain Nesach. Let's say it's a non-Jew. Well, what's happening now is that you have an obligation to feed your worker. He's going to be taking your money, buying Yain Nesach with it. And now you will have basically paid for his lunch, but with Yain Nesach. We know Yain Nesach has asur b'ana. You're not allowed to get benefit from it. Your worker now eating Yain Nesach, that benefits you. But again, you didn't tell him to buy Yain Nesach. So therefore, it's not your concern. On the other hand, im amar lahem tzuvach levani pareach tzuvashas tzuvani pareach choshesh mishum shias umishum meiser mishum yai nesach. But back to the Gemara, in the case where you basically say, look, here's the storekeeper. You go to that store over there. You go to that restaurant, and it's on my tab, and I'm gonna pay. So then it's a concern. What do we see? Alma. So when you're paying, you're basically paying for Isser. And I don't understand. You're not paying for it at the time, you're paying for it at a later point in time. Hachanami ki kapara deme Isser kapara. So now we go back to Debe Rav Yanai. So Debe Rav Yanai, you're paying for the Peir Shvias. I don't care that it's a year later. You're paying for Peir Shvias. The money now should have the status of Peir Shvias, regardless of when you pay. This is a question of Rav Sheshes, and the Gemara is going to give a number of answers.
He's just doing an exchange. He's not paying them.
In which case? In the case of Rav Yanai, no, he's paying. No, he's saying, you'll lend me the Peir Shvias now, and I'll pay you later. You know, it's set up as a loan. So Tigrim of Rechista Bechanvani Amakifo, the Mishtabe Le, the Kevin de Orche Lakufe, Kanele Dina Gabe. So, answer number one of the Gemara is Rav Chista. Rav Chista says that the storekeeper and the employer have a long-standing relationship. They know each other, they know each other well. In fact, when the storekeeper, when the employer goes over to the storekeeper and says, look, here comes my workers, you give them the food, it's on me, right, and we know each other. You know I'm good for it. And not only am I good for it, but the moment that you give them the food, so basically, it automatically creates a shibud against me. And so basically what the Gemara says is that kevin de orche lakufe kanale dinar gabe. So it's basically considered like an exchange, a direct exchange. Even though the employer is not paying at the time, but because of the long-standing relationship and because they know each other, and because the storekeeper has confidence in the fact that he's going to get paid, so it's viewed as if the exchange occurs immediately. Aval, the Gemara says, so what are you saying now? Chanvani she'ein makifo, my mutter? So, and I'm sorry, and before we get on to step number two of the Gemara, the question of the Gemara, It's really a bit of a struggle right now understanding the Gemara. Because what the Gemara now is contrasting is that to the Debei Rav Yanai. Meaning that when Debei Rav Yanai now are borrowing from the poor people, so we're saying that even though Debei Rav Yanai are promising to pay back, but it doesn't create a lien. It's a little bit difficult to understand that. I'll read the Rashi.
It was only once, maybe.
Right. I'll read the Rashi.
What's that called for? Credit?
Credit? Mm-hmm. He has a tab. So it's credit. So kindly dina gabe. So Rashi writes aval. You know, I'm going to start in the middle of the Rashi. Dibra amaskal kindly dina gabe aval. Rashi says, now Rashi's doing the contrast. Debei Rav Yanai, why isn't it working like this? Why don't we simply say the same thing by Debei Rav Yanai? Avahanach Debei Rav Yanai came to Hanach Haniyeh Demusri Lupere Lav Chenvani Haragil Lakifonenu. No, they're not regular, says Rashi. Lo Samcha Daiti Kulehai. So there, they don't have as much Shmichas Das. And if you think about it, right, if you think about it, it really does make sense. Meaning, when the poor people are lending Peir Shvius, they're not really in the driver's seat. Meaning, generally speaking, when we look at a lender, the lender's in the driver's seat, right? The Gemara in many places refers to the borrower as an Eved, right? Eved Lova Lish Malve. The Lova is really in the Lova is in the back of the, is in the back of the car. And who's driving the car? The lender is driving the car. Over here, the poor people, really, who's doing who a favor? Are the poor people doing Rav Yanai a favor? No. Rav Yanai, the borrower, is really doing the poor people a favor. So when the poor people are, quote-unquote, lending the Peir Shvius over to Rav Yanai, they know they're going to get paid back? They're absolutely sure they're going to get paid back? Rashi says, no. Lo samcha daiti kulahai. V'lo mishtab luhu debei Rav Yanai. Hilkach kapar lachar zman, lav chalifei shvius nenu. And so therefore, when Rav Yanai pays back a year later, we're not going to call this an exchange because there wasn't that shibu that was created at the time of the loan. Let's go back to the Gemara.
It's not Rav Yanai, it's Debei Rav
Yanai. Okay.
If they had given it to Rav Yanai, they would have been secure.
Okay, could be.
For sure not.
So the Gemara says, okay, so you're telling me that there's a distinction between where the storekeeper and the employer have a standing relationship. And if they don't have a standing relationship, you're telling me it's okay? So the Gemara says, so question number one of the Gemara. You know, we always hear this question throughout the Gemara. So now we have a really good distinction we can make between a chenvani who knows the store, the employer, and the chenvani who doesn't know the store owner. Make that distinction. That's such a better distinction. V'od chenvani she'en makifo mila mishtabe. And again, and now even more fundamentally than that, you want to tell me that if they don't have a long-standing relationship, there's no shibud? Of course, there's a shibud. V'amar rava amar lechaver ten manu laponi v'iknu kol nechsay lecha kani midin arev. When the employer says to the storekeeper, you're going to pay my employees, even if they don't know each other, and they don't have a long-standing relationship, he says, smoch alai. He says, and I'll make good for paying. He's called an arev, he's called a guarantor. And then a guarantor, of course, is obligated. So you're telling me that there's a difference between whether there is or there isn't a relationship, even with no relationship. If you're committing yourself to make payment, so you have to pay, and not only do you have to pay, is shibud is created because you committed yourself. So the Gemara says, Rava says it doesn't matter if there's a credit, doesn't matter if there is no credit. So once you make a shibud, so it doesn't become usur, meaning it should become usur. So the Gemara says, because he's not pointing to what is going to be served as payment, so therefore it's not considered an exchange, and therefore it's not going to be aser. So, Ella. So the Gemara says like this, okay. So we have now basically understood that Again, there's a difference between a direct exchange versus payment later. Payment at a later point in time, even coupled with the shibud, is not the same as the direct exchange. So the Gemara says, Elahacha, my choshesh mishum shvius. So the Gemara says, so now if this is true, so then back to square one. Well, not square one. No. In other words, back to Rosh Hashanah's kasha. Rosh Hashanah says that if the storekeeper is going to be paying the, if the employer is going to be paying the storekeeper, so then he has to worry. Why does he have to worry? Meaning, if he's paying at a later point in time, it's not a direct exchange. So the Gemara says, Halam yachi shibud, hacha amara papa. Ella, hacha amai choshesh mishin shviyas, halam yachi shibude, hacha amara papa kigon, shehikim lo dinar. So the Gemara says, well, we'll make the following suggestion. You know what the employer did? He went to the storekeeper and he said, here's the money. And my workers are going to come to you and they're going to eat. And I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll come back at a later point in time. We'll make a cheshbon. We'll figure out how much they ate. Figure out how much money I gave you. Okay, we'll do a cheshbon. I'm Rav Kahana. I'm Yisrael Shemaita. Come to Rav Zvid. Min Arda. I'm Alei Yehachi. Adinit Suva Achlu Suva Shah Suva Ani Poreya. Suva Achlu Suva Shu Suva Ani Mechashev. Mi Bayelei. Yeah, then linguistically, the wording of the Brisa is very difficult. So what the Brisa should be saying is, not that I'm going to come and pay you, but I'm going to come and we'll make a cheshbon. That's what the Brisa should say. Amrli tenitzu v'ani mechashev. So the Gemara says, okay, you're bothered by that? Okay, so you know what? That's what the Brisa meant. Or edit the Brisa. Either way, that doesn't bother me. Ravashi amar kigon shenato v'nasam yad. Ravashi says, no. You know what the case is talking about? The case is talking about where the employer actually went into the store and basically he said, right, guys, you worked really hard today. I'm very happy with you. Here, I'm gonna serve you. And he goes now and he, you know, goes to the storekeeper and he says, look, here's my workers and I'll pay for them. And he actually gives the food from the storekeeper to the workers. So, Amalei Rav Yemalei Rav Ashi, Achi Adinitzu V'Ochlutzu V'Shusu, again, linguistically, if that's what happened, the Bryce's language should not be, should rather be tulu. Go take it. And again, the Gemara's answer is, if that's your problem, fine. So that's what the Bryce meant. Or again, edit the Bryce. But in other words, that's another possibility. So again, Rav Sheshit, second half of today's daf, Rav Sheshit's question, and the Gemara's answer. On the premise that started off our entire daf today, that if when you borrow something, you pay at a later point in time, when you pay your obligation at a later point in time, that's not considered direct exchange, and that's not going to have the status of that which you are, either borrowed or purchased some time ago. We learned this in the context of Rav Yanai borrowing payer shvius during the Shemitah year, paying a year later, that payment a year later is not going to have payer shvius. It's not going to have the status of parashvius. The esnan that's given to the zona after service is rendered, it's not going to have the status of an esnan. That's the principle that we learned in today's daf. That's the premise, the entire premise of today's daf. And then, that's Amud Aleph. Amud Beis of today's daf is, what about the case of the employer, the balabais, who basically pays the chenvani, or not pays, but promises to pay the chenvani, the store owner, for the lunches that are given to his workers, and if the workers are now going to be eating peir shvius, what's it called, peir shein ma'usar, yayin nesach, let's say he's a guy, so when he pays at a later point in time, the Brisa says, oh, that's a problem. Why should that be a problem? He's paying at a later point in time. It shouldn't have the status of any of the ma'achalos asuros. And the answer is, the Gemara gives a number of answers. Either the Gemara suggests maybe there's a shibud, and that shibud is considered like a direct exchange. The Gemara didn't love that answer. The Gemara suggested that maybe he paid the store owner first, and then they made a cheshbon afterwards. Okay, linguistically it's a little difficult. Or the third answer of the Gemara is, he was there actually in the store itself, and he actually took the food from the store owner and gave it to his workers, and that's another possible suggestion of the Brisa. Stop here.